Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everybody this morning. We have more here in the auditorium than we did last week. I know we still have a lot of people that are in the parking lot. Hopefully, this latest spike of the COVID virus will pass within a week or so. And I'm looking forward to the time when we'll have just about everybody back in the auditorium with us. You know, it's that time of the year, January, when we sit down and we look at ourselves. We see ourselves where we are physically, and we sit down and we start seeing all the things that are wrong with us, and we see the changes that need to be made, and we start thinking about changing. And so we make these resolutions. I'm possibly going to lose weight this year. I'm going to get in shape this year. I'm going to achieve certain goals this year. My sermon this morning is on the subject of not just discipline, but spiritual discipline. You'll recognize that whenever you have these physical goals that you're trying to attain to, you've got to have self-discipline. And also, I want you to recognize that there are more important goals that we have in our life other than the physical ones. Spiritual goals, where we sit down and see what is wrong with us spiritually. We see our weaknesses spiritually and we acknowledge them and we say to ourselves, I need to change. I need to repent. I need to stop doing these things. I need to start doing these things. And we see the changes that need to be made. And sometimes we may even say in our heart, I'm going to stop doing that. Or I'm going to start doing more of this and show good works in my life. But this is where spiritual discipline comes in. I want you to see what the Apostle Paul said about himself, and I believe all mankind, over in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. I'm reading from the outline now. For I know that is in me there, that is in my flesh, and nothing good dwells. Now look at this. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. I believe the Apostle Paul, yes, speaking of himself here, is speaking of all mankind. He's speaking of you, he's speaking of me. And so the will is present with me to perform what is good. I have the desire, I have the intentions, I have the will to do what's right. I have the desires, I have the intentions to stop doing what's wrong. But look at the very last point here. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. How do I do it? How do I carry out in my body what I'm willing and wanting and desiring to do in my mind and will and spirit? You find over in James chapter 4, verse 17. It says, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Here, the scripture is talking about actions that we as Christians are supposed to be involved in, being involved in good works toward all that are out in the world, and especially those of the household of faith. We understand we're supposed to be doing these good works, and sometimes we see the situation, we understand what could be done and what we could do to help, but then we don't do it. And when we don't do it, when we pass by on the other side, seeing the situation and doing nothing to help, we've sinned. Continue now over in Matthew chapter 26. I'm reading again from the outline. And came the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, the flesh is weak. Now, in the context here, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's told his disciples just a few moments earlier that all of you are going to deny me tonight. Peter said, I'll die with you, but I'll never deny you. That's when Jesus told him, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. Let me ask you. When they said they were not going to renounce Christ, when Peter said, I will die with you, did they mean it? Yes. I believe with every fiber of their being, all their heart, all their desire, all their will, they meant it. And yet, before the rooster crowed, Peter denied him three times. Jesus here in this text is explaining to us the problem. The spirit indeed is willing. We are willing. We're wanting to do good. We're wanting to stop doing evil. But the flesh is weak. There's the reality of all of us. We have an understanding of the will of God. We desire to do the will of God. We want to be pleasing to God. We want to do the good works that He wants us to do. We want to stop doing the things that are sinful. But as Paul said earlier, how to perform what is good, I do not find. The flesh is weak to where even though we have great intentions, we don't do the things we know that we're supposed to do. And we do the things we know we're not supposed to be doing. Therein lies our problem. Going further, in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 23, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Now, I understand this text is talking about physical labor and physical work, but I want to take it and apply it to all spiritual matters. There are times when, as I said, we see the good we need to be doing. And we may say, yeah, I see this, and I'm going to do this. Or we see the bad things that we're doing, and we may say, yeah, I see that, and I'm going to stop it. That's what the apostles did in the Garden of Gethsemane. They talked. They said what they were not going to do. And every single one of them who said what they were not going to do, in just a few hours, they did exactly what they said they weren't going to do. So talking about it is not going to do it. Are you seeing here what I'm trying to describe to you? This is me. This is you. This is our struggle with sin and actually changing spiritually. James 1, 22 to 25. And again, I'm reading from the outline. But be doers of the work and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, it says about that man, and is not a forgetful hearer and a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. The one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, you're a doer of the work, a doer of the word, that's going to be the one that's going to be blessed. All right. What I'm trying to show you is in the Word of God, He tells us how He wants us to live and how He doesn't want us to live. It's not that we don't understand what He's saying. It's not that we don't understand the commands. We don't do it. We just don't do it. And until we get to the point that we are actually being a doer, not just talking about it, not just desiring it, not just willing it, not just wanting to do it, but doing it, that's when we'll finally be blessed as Christians. So what we're going to be doing in the sermon this morning, now I've explained to you the problem we have. How do we do it? How do we carry out in our body what we're desiring and willing to do in our mind and spirit? I want you to see what the Apostle Paul says about himself over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. I don't know about you, it never scares me. This is Apostle Paul talking about himself being disqualified. Paul not making it to heaven. Whoa, Paul not making it? If Paul's talking about him not making it, folks, I may be in big trouble here. But look at what he did to make sure he wasn't lost. He disciplined his body. He brought his body into subjection. I got a question for you. How often do you think he did this? Every day. You're right. Every day. He understood his problem. He had the will to do it, but how to carry it out. And so he understood what he was going to have to do was self-discipline. He was going to have to discipline himself to where what he was willing to do in his body, he did it. He brought his body into subjection to where when he was willing to do something, he carried it out. And there was something he was supposed to stop doing, he stopped doing it. The point I'm trying to make is this: change is possible, but change is not easy. If someone tells you repentance is easy, they're lying to you. Change takes discipline. Change takes a lot of work to do it. Now, as I said earlier, some of you may be at this time talking about physical exercise. You know, my New Year's resolution is I'm going to get in better shape. Some of you are already there. Good for you. I get up and I look at myself in the morning. I go, oh, I got some changing to do. And so, yes, I'm one of those who said, I'm going to start exercising. And so you go and you exercise. Now, let me ask you, if I just go down here and exercise 1 hour a week, how's that going to change me very much? It's not, is it? You got to get into the habit of doing it every day to where you start it and you keep on doing it. Now that I talk to you about physical exercise, please recognize this. Spiritual exercise is the same way. We are to be exercising ourselves spiritually. Where I'm going now is over to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. All right, the beginning of a relationship with God is faith. And so if you have faith, great. Now keep working to make that faith stronger and stronger and stronger. And then to that faith, you add virtue. If you do a study of the word virtue, you're going to find it going in two different directions. Most of the definitions I found are dealing with moral excellence. However, I did find another definition that talked about moral strength. And so I'm putting the two together, if you don't mind. Moral strength to have moral excellence. The strength to do what's right. And then you add to that virtue knowledge. And the knowledge we're talking about here is the knowledge of the Word of God. Let's keep going in this. In verse 6, to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. All right, so faith, virtue, knowledge, and then to knowledge you add self-control. Now you see there we're dealing with self-discipline, self-control, to where I'm controlling my mind, I'm controlling my body, I'm controlling my tongue, I'm controlling my actions. And then to that self-control, perseverance, and look at this perseverance, it's keeping on, keeping on, keeping on, not stopping, not quitting. And then godliness is dealing with reverence, godly fear, manifest in the way in which you're speaking and living. And then brotherly love is the love we're supposed to have for brothers and sisters in Christ. And finally, to all of that, you add the greatest of all love. These are the Christian attributes that all of us are expected to be growing in. My question for you, Are you working at it at all? Or are you just looking at this verse and going, yeah, okay. And then you leave the building and do absolutely none of this. Okay. Going back to the text, it says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. I want to go back to this because there's a particular phrase in here that I left out in verse 9. I'm going back to the outline. Verse 9 says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. He who lacks these things. So my question for you is this. You got to do some soul searching right now when I ask you this question. What do you lack in these Christian attributes? Do you lack virtue and moral courage to do what's right? Do you lack knowledge of the will of God from the Scriptures? Do you lack self-control? Do you lack perseverance and patience and endurance? Do you lack godliness? Do you lack brotherly kindness? Do you lack love? The answer is yes, 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 yes. What I'm trying to tell you, if you think you're there on any of these, you're wrong. All of us are expected to be growing regardless of where we are in our spiritual journey. We are expected to be growing in our faith, growing in our virtue, growing in our knowledge, and it is spiritual exercising that we never stop doing. That's why I asked you the question, how often did Paul discipline his body? He knew the answer every day. Then how often do we exercise ourselves spiritually? Every day. I asked the question, how good is it going to be for me if I go down, I walk on the treadmill for 30 minutes every week or every 2 weeks, or I go upstairs twice a month? It's not going to do you any good. You're not going to grow. There's not going to be any change. No change in you because you're not doing what needs to be done. If we're wanting spiritual change, we've got to exercise ourselves spiritually, and we got to do all of this every day. Working and growing in the knowledge of the Word of God. Working and growing in self-control. Working and growing in perseverance. Working and growing in all of these. Every single day, working at growing in them. Trying to get to the point to where, as it says here in the text, they are in you and abounding. Oh, that's a lot of work, isn't it? To get to the point to where the knowledge of the Word of God is in you and abounding. You are abounding in the knowledge of the Scriptures. You're abounding in self-control. You're abounding in perseverance and patience. You're abounding in brotherly kindness. Oh, you see, we've all got a long way to go, don't we? And we've all got a lot of exercising to do continually every day to get there. Going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, he says, and I'm going to read from the outline here again, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. You see, Paul understood that if he didn't do this, if he didn't discipline his body, then he was going to have the desire to do good and he wouldn't do it. He would have the desire to stop doing good and he wouldn't do it. If he didn't discipline his body, he was going to end up being disqualified. The text I read to you earlier from verse 9 talked about that if you lack these things, if you're not doing this, you're going to be blinded. You're going to forget that you've been forgiven. Look at verse 10 in the text there. I'm just going to quote it to you. If you do these things, you will never stumble. That's the very close of verse 10, 2 Peter 5, verse 10. If you do these things, you'll never stumble. The idea of never stumbling is you'll make it. You will make it to heaven. We will make it to heaven when we realize the seriousness of Christianity, that we are expected to grow as Christians after we obey the gospel and then get after it and start doing it and doing it daily. Now then, 2 Peter chapter 3:18. It says in the close of 2 Peter chapter 3:18, that grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to put that one up there because I want you to see the way in which spiritual growth takes place. Listen real close to what I'm about to tell you. You are not going to be abounding in any of the Christian attributes overnight. You're not going to be abounding in knowledge because you obeyed the gospel last month or last year. You got to work at it. And so I want to use the example here of growing in knowledge. How much do you know about the Bible? Do you know it very well at all? I actually knew a man once who I sincerely believed he could quote the entire Bible. I was told the story of him teaching the class of Obadiah, minor prophets, and the wind blew the classroom door open, and he started walking over to close the door, and he just kept on quoting Obadiah. Now you just think about that. Who on earth memorizes Obadiah? He did. And so one time he was at a gospel meeting and I was going out to eat with him and he and I were pretty much alone. And I said, I gotta ask you a question. How much time do you spend every day in memory work? I didn't ask him if he's memorized the Bible. It was obvious that he memorized a lot of it. But I asked him, how much time do you spend in memory work every day? Because I was expecting him to say hours. You know what he told me? 30 minutes. 30 minutes a day. But then he told me, but Wayne, you got to understand, I do it every day. And I've been doing it for decades. All right. So I want to ask you a question. You and I a question. How long does it take you to memorize one verse? Just one verse to put it into your mind and memorize it. 5, 10, maybe 15 minutes? Okay. Now then, if you do that every day, will you memorize one verse a day? Do you realize at the end of a year you have memorized Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians? 1 year. And what he told me when I was talking with him, he says, well, now I just kind of go over what I've already memorized so that I'll keep on remembering it. But the key is, and you got to listen to this, he did it every day. How often did Paul discipline his body? Every day. If you're doing physical exercise, how often do you have to do it? Every day. If you're going to do spiritual exercise, how often are we supposed to be doing this? Every day. Every day. Consistently. But you need to know this. Change is not going to take place in you overnight. Let me give you two verses on this. Exodus chapter 23, verse 20, verse 30, excuse me. Exodus 23, 30. He says, little by little I will drive them out before you. And then Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. But he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. All right, I want to start here in Proverbs 13, 11. Saving money. If you save your money, and you have this goal here, I want to be able to purchase this item, but I've got to save my money. If you save a portion of your check for a couple of weeks, is that going to get it? No. Couple of months? Not really, unless it's not very expensive. Usually, if there's an item that you've got in your mind that you want to purchase, you got to save and save and save and save. But notice the phrase here, little by little. You're not going to have a big nest egg over a few months. You may not have a big nest egg over a couple of years. But if you're consistently doing it day by day, week by week, over a period of time, look at this, it grows. I'm wanting you to realize that's the way all spiritual growth takes place. It is not done in leaps and bounds where all of a sudden you just take off like a rocket and you just keep on going quickly and all of a sudden at the end of a couple of months they're in you and abounding. That's not reality. That's not reality. Could you imagine someone, again, you've done your January where you made your resolution and you're going to exercise, you're going to lose weight, and you go in, you've been exercising for a month already, and you go in, you look in the mirror and you haven't seen much change. Well, I'm still overweight. And so, you know, you're still overweight. And so what happens sometimes, I'm not there yet. How many of you want results and you want them now? You keep reading, drink this pill or eat this thing and you'll lose weight overnight. It's a hoax, folks. That's not real. There is no quick fix to you. There is no quick spiritual growth. That's fake. Real spiritual growth is done consistently over long periods of time. Little by little, you can grow. But what happens is we get discouraged because we're not there yet. I'm going over to Romans now, chapter 12, verses 11 through 12. He says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Look at this. This is what we're trying to get to. You're supposed to be growing and growing diligently. If you really exercise diligently, consistently, and you don't stop doing it, at some point in time, the changes are going to start happening physically, don't they? And all of a sudden, you do start seeing the weight going away. And all of a sudden, you do start seeing some muscles that actually are underneath there. They actually are still there. You start seeing changes. But you didn't get there quickly. You got there little by little, consistently, diligently sticking to it. Because we want to be there, we want to be there now. We want our food quick. How many of you ever griped at McDonald's because they were too slow? How many of you ever griped at a computer because it was going too slow? We want it and we want it now. There is no now spiritual growth where it's abounding in you quickly. That doesn't happen. It happens by you recognizing the need for it, desiring to do it, and then starting to do it and getting after it diligently. And look at the phrase here, not lagging in diligence. Because what happens is you're doing it and you're doing it and you're doing it, and sometimes you start looking at yourself and you're thinking, well, I'm not there yet. Let me ask you this. Even if you're growing in knowledge, growing in self-control, does that mean you're never going to blow it? You're never going to sin again because you know the will of God and you're strong, you're getting strong in your faith. Do you realize everybody has their valleys? Everybody has their valleys in their lives. Even when you're trying to go forward, you're going to have moments when you're going to be weak. You've got to get to the point to where you don't allow those moments when you're weak to get you so discouraged that you just quit. Just give it up. You got to be not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Do you see here how he's continually doing it? Look at these words, diligent, fervent, serving, continually. That's what we're trying to get to where we're continuing steadfastly, serving, fervent, diligent. Look at this again, a verse I know that you know. I think I skipped a verse here. Where is it? All right, I'm going to find it. First of all, let's go to 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10. Giving all diligence, there's that word again. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent, there's the word again, to make yourself, your calling and election sure. Diligence. 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 Do y'all see that? Not lagging in diligence. Giving all diligence, being even more diligent. You stick with it. You don't stop doing it. Now, going back to Romans 12 and 2, he talks about continuing steadfastly in prayer. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Steadfast in prayer. You have things that are weighing on you heavily. Situations, physically, situations, emotionally, situations, spiritually. Take it to God in prayer. Pray steadfastly. Pray without ceasing. Keep on praying. Drawing close to God, trusting God in your prayer. And then going to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, he says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And so when you're redeeming the time, that means you need to recognize where you are, you need to recognize what needs to be done, and you've got to use your time wisely. All right, coming back to physical reality. I need to exercise. I need to get in shape physically. I'm going to do this, okay. But before I do that, I'm going to go to my iPad and see what's happening on Facebook. And I'm going to stroll here on Facebook for just a couple hours. And before I go exercise, I think I may watch this particular show I want to see on television. And before I do that, I'm going to play on this video game for a couple hours. What happens is we do all kinds of activities because we want to do them and we don't do what we need to do. Have you ever heard someone say, we don't have enough time? Folks, we're living in a time in existence when we got more time than anybody else has ever had. We got machines to wash our clothes. We got machines to wash our dishes. We got machines to dry our clothes. We got computers where we can do research very quickly. Well, it used to take me 40 hours. I can do it in 40 minutes. We got all kinds of things that we have created to give us more time. The problem is that we don't have time. The problem is we're using that time to do what we want to do, not what we need to do. That happens to us physically, it happens to us spiritually. The reason quite often people stop in February what they began in January is they burn out. They're not there yet, and they're not giving it all they've got diligently and sticking to it. You gotta stick to it, you gotta use your time wisely, you gotta redeem the time and read the Bible. Memorize the scriptures. Work on your self-control. Work on your patience. Work on all of these every day. And over a period of time, there will come a point in time where they are in you and abounding. But you didn't get there quickly. You didn't get there overnight. You got there little by little, consistently sticking with it diligently. Using your time wisely. I want to give you another verse, Hebrews 11 and 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who, look at this, diligently seek him. There's the fourth time. Diligence, diligence, diligence. Diligence is getting after it and continuing to get after it and not stopping. The problem is with our change in our lives is there comes a point in time where we stop. We stop reading the Bible. We stop praying. We stop trying to get more patience. We stop trying to get more self-control. We just stop or we think, I'm okay. I got enough. I'll put it on cruise control. And whenever you think you got enough, that's when you start going backwards. Anybody here after your exercise got really in good shape? And then quit. Yeah, all of us who worked years possibly to get in good physical condition and then 1 or 2 months of marriage. Wow. It's amazing what good cooking will do for you. If you stop exercising, what happens? It doesn't take long and it's gone. If you stop exercising spiritually, if you quit, it's not going to be long, and you're going to be gone spiritually. So let's go to Galatians 6, 9 through 10. Reading from the outline and in the overhead here. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And now he says here, going further with this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want to put these two verses together. Let's go back to the one here in Galatians. If I can get back to it. There we go. Let us not grow weary while doing good. Okay, growing weary. There's going to be times when you get tired. There's going to be times when you get discouraged. There's going to be times when you, as I said earlier, are in the valley, when there's a moment of weakness, and you're not doing exactly what you were doing. You're getting weaker and weaker. Okay, when you see those valleys, when it's not easy, when you're not seeing the change that you're wanting to see as quickly as you're wanting to see it, you got to stop thinking about giving up. Don't grow weary to the point to where you stop. Look at the very next verse here, the very next part of it. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I don't want to embarrass you, Brother Riddick, and I'm talking about Caleb, by the way. You're in very good physical condition. Did you get there overnight? A couple of weeks? A couple of months? A couple of years? A lot of years? How often do you work at it? Every day? Yeah. Do you ever eat ice cream? Okay. So you may be working at losing weight. I'm not going to, am I going to be fat anymore. I'm going to lose weight. And then I'm going to eat some ice cream today. All right. That's reality. Or I'm going to get in shape, but I'm going to stop for a few weeks. Okay, that's reality. That's who we are. That's reality. So pulling back and seeing the reality of us. We have the will. We have the good intentions. We see what needs to be done. But how do we do it? How do we do it? You just start doing it. You just start doing it. You start reading the Bible. And you keep reading the Bible. And you keep growing in your faith. And you keep working at self-control. And you keep working at trying to quit sinning. And you keep working at trying to do good. And the moments when you mess up, and you will. And you blow it, and you will. You seek God's forgiveness, and you'll get up and you keep going. Trying to do good. Trying not to sin. Trying to do the will of God. And there's going to come a point in time when you will be stronger than you were before. And even though you're stronger than you were before, good, good, good. Now, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. What will happen, Brother Riddick, and again, I'm talking to Caleb, if you quit exercising, how long will it take before all that nice muscle's gone? Couple of months? Yeah, it goes away fast, doesn't it? Sorry to embarrass you, but you're a good example. Because the rest of us aren't there yet, physically. But if we see that physically, we can see that spiritually, can't we? Grow in the Christian attributes. Just start doing it. Talking about it isn't going to get it. Wanting to do it is not going to get it. Doing it. And keep on doing it. And if you do it consistently over a long period of time, there's going to be great changes taking place in you and in me spiritually. And it is not a waste of our time. I want to close again with going to the verse that I had earlier. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Such an encouraging verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. you're abounding in the work of the Lord, you're diligently serving God, you're working to grow spiritually, he says here, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I told you all this before. What kind of mark are we going to leave on this world? The mark, hopefully, that we will leave on this world will be a mark that is a spiritual mark, that we have been the salt of the earth and the light of the world that we were talking about in our Bible class, that we will draw our husbands and our wives and our children to God, that our children will obey the gospel, that we will finish our race in Christ, that we will discipline ourselves and bring ourselves into subjection, and we will grow spiritually, and we will not stumble, and we will make it. We will make it to the end of our race and help as many as we can to come along with us. But to do that, we've got to be serious about growing spiritually. We've got to start doing it and sticking with it and not stop doing it ever. Because the moment you stop going forward, you start going backwards. And you remember what Paul said. Why did he discipline himself? Why did he bring his body in subjection? Lest after he had preached to others, he himself be disqualified. If you don't discipline yourself, if you don't grow spiritually, you may find yourself being disqualified and going to hell. That's why spiritual growth is so important. So start doing that. Keep up losing weight, fine. Keep up trying to get in shape, that's fine. You know, there is a scripture that says bodily exercise profits little. Sorry. But godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So, yeah, go ahead and exercise physically, lose weight physically. That's all fine and good. But more importantly, exercise spiritually and grow spiritually, to where the Christian attributes are in you and abounding, and you will never stumble, and you will make, and in the way, along the way, you will help others find their way. Yeah. Yeah. It's not a waste of time. And your labor and your effort and your spiritual growth are not in vain. I thank you for your kind attention. If there's anybody here this morning who is not in Christ yet, it is our most sincere desire and hope for you that you would obey the gospel. For you to obey the gospel, you need to come to the knowledge of the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be willing to confess that faith. If that faith is in you already and you haven't confessed it, come forward and confess what you believe. And then, being driven by your faith, repent. And as I told you earlier, yes, you repent. You make the commitment. But actually, in reality, you're beginning a journey. You're beginning a journey of commitment, of walking and living by faith, of striving to put off the old man and put on the new man. And as I told you before, that repentance is going to take the rest of your life. You've got to keep on working at it every day. But make that commitment, and we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're in Christ already, and you're in the valley, you've messed up, you've gone into sin yet again, and you haven't dealt with it yet, we want to encourage you to get up and deal with it. Take the sin to God, confess it to him, and turn from it. We'll pray for you, we'll pray with you, and we'll do the best we can to encourage you and strengthen you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song that Nathan has selected. Oh, he's in the back. He's got a way to come.